present the news quiz with your chairman, Barry Took.
Hello and welcome once again to the news quiz. We start with a cutting from the Daily Telegraph, read by Brian Perkins.
June Carter of Orange County, California, has been charged with attempted murder after setting fire to her husband because he ate a chocolate Easter rabbit she had wanted.
On that seasonal note, let's meet the teams. Would you welcome first, on my right, Richard Ingrams and John Sessions. Facing them on my left, Alan Corran and Andy Hamilton. Before we start round one, here's a classified ad from the Bolton Journal.
Pets Corner, Village Studios. Have your pets shot professionally.
Thank you, Jay Turner, for sending us that. Richard, your first question. Who's promoting the idea of the right crowd, but no crowding?
Is it our friend, the Duke of Prince Charles?
Duke of Prince Charles, yes, I think.
Well, they're the same thing, aren't they? Too many people in the world, that sort of thing. Is that what it's about?
That's the one, yes.
Really is appalling. You've got to cut them down. And the Pope was attacked, wasn't he, for getting it wrong.
Or not getting it at all.
No, he was commendable.
I would have thought.
Very witty, but I don't think that was the cause of his ire against us. Anyway, it's all to make more room for the elephants. That's the message.
Yes, this was Prince Charles, who, fearing the world might end before he got to take over his part of it, it came up with the handy hint that the best way to save the planet from overpopulation is to reduce the birth rate. And what's more, his parents, sister, brothers, their children, the 2,000 cousins, all agree with him. But to be fair to the prince, he and his brothers have been doing their bit to keep the population down. None of them has touched a woman in months. Oh. Now, don't go reading things into that that aren't meant. John, welcome to the programme. Your question. Oh. Who feel they're fighting blackboard jungle warfare?
Well, the teachers, probably.
Oh, it is the teachers.
They have blackboards.
Yes.
In classrooms, I believe.
I believe they still have those things on computers as well, don't they, Richard?
Yes, I do. I think they do, yes.
So the teachers, they're getting rather fed up with having to have jamborees every time they want the kids to have a new biro, so they've had enough. Enough is enough, and spelled properly.
Yes, right. This is the National Union of Teachers' annual school trip to Blackpool, where many objected to government plans for teacher appraisal, claiming they were done perfect good as things was. They also threatened to cause classroom chaos. Trouble is, the kids have got there first. New Education Secretary John Paton explained youngsters behave badly because they don't have a fear of going to hell. After a few years in the comprehensive, hell's the least of their fears. The government aimed to bring standards up to those enjoyed in public schools, where well-mannered pupils don't attack the staff. They just stick to beating up their juniors. Andy, welcome to the show to you too.
Thank you, Barry.
Your question, whose intelligence is yards ahead?
Yes, this is to do with the leaking of a Scotland Yard briefing, where apparently a Rosa was addressing the rest of the senior Rosas and said that they had no intelligence about IRA activities. Sorry, that was a perfectly innocent pause there. Clearly, Scotland Yard feel that this was leaked to the Irish Times deliberately by the spooks at MI5, who apparently want to take over the whole business of fighting the IRA and turn it from a top-secret operation into a completely secret operation. It's all going to go before Kenneth Clark, apparently, and he's going to... Why does the name Kenneth Clark always get giggles? And he's going to decide.
It was the allegation that now the Cold War is over, MI5 has started its own job creation scheme by starting a slightly warmer one with Scotland Yard. A document was leaked to the Irish Times, as you so rightly say, but they said they had no idea who sent it because they threw away the envelope. The secret document revealed a highly sensitive piece of information which the Yard Special Branch had been keeping extremely close to its chest, namely that they don't have any information. MI5 were delighted. Until they got hold of that, they didn't have any information either. Alan, will you listen to this?
If you had your way, you'd tell me what to say, and
grass, so that was called backseat driver. And the question is, who refused to belt up in the back seat?
Well, I felt panic welling up even. It is not about the dwarf sedge found underneath Stonehenge. There's a picture of a woman on her knees, one of those knitted women they have in the Telegraph, looking at this dwarf sedge through a large magnifying glass to make it a slightly larger sedge. It hasn't been there for 50 years, now it's come back. What's I don't think it's anything to do with backseat driving. Someone refused to wear a seatbelt in the back of a car. Is this a royal of some kind?
Near royal, yes, will be. Surely this is Mrs. Thatcher, who said that there was no such person.
Backseat driver.
No such person as John Major.
Yes.
She won the election and it was all a dream. According to her invisible giraffe, Gerald.
It's the curse of Maggie's tomb, which struck again in the latest edition of Newsweek, though Mrs. T's article seemed to be more about a week back in November 1990. It was entitled Do Not Undo My Work, which presumably meant bring back the poll tax and stop being friendly to foreigners. This was a blatant attempt by the former leader to boost her flagging after-dinner bookings. If things carry on like this, she'll soon be doing guest appearances closing supermarkets. The scores at the end of the first round are, as they always are on this programme, for all. We start round two with a cutting from the Leicester Mercury.
At a service in the South Pacific Solomon Islands, the Bishop of Chester gave communion to a bare-breasted woman, but didn't realise until his wife told him afterwards.
Well, thank you, Christina Attenborough from Leicester, for sending us that. Richard, who's been creaming off a wedge in a smelly swindle?
Very good question indeed, and I'm very glad you asked it. You're up with the news, John, or not? I do know this.
Good.
It's the EC Cheese Mountain fraud.
That's right.
There's cheese wallers in Italy, and have been operating a vast fraud to do with cheese. I'm not sure how it worked. Do you know, have any idea about cheese? Actually, Prince Charles, Prince Cheese, he would know all about it, wouldn't he?
Would he?
He's very hot on cheese.
I'm sure he is.
Yes. These lovely sort of smelly cheeses they have.
Yes.
It's all about Euro cheese, which has kept the EC officials awake at nights worrying what happened to £11 million in bogus export subsidies. Fraudulent refunds were claimed on batches of cheese covered with animal hair, overmoist cheddar, in other words, pumped full of water, and some Italian sheep's milk, which was described as so substandard it defies classifications. As we know it over here, natural yogurt. French producers have also been passing off exceptionally rancid dairy products as fit for human consumption, so nothing new there. John, will you tell us the one about the bishop and the call girls and the mothers?
Well, is it this row that's going on over whether prostitution should be legalised? Because a call girl is a prostitute. She's not, as people used to think in 1950, a telephonist. And,
Yes.
That's it, isn't it? Red Leicester? No.
He's worse than me, this chap.
I'm trying to pick up your style, Richard. Groping for the truth.
I thought they were going to have these mothers' union brothels when I saw that story. where you go in and you put a tenner on the mantelpiece and a girl comes in and knits you a pair of socks. Yeah. Quite appealed to me by that.
It's all about the Mothers' Union and their interesting position on the legalisation of brothels. Their discussion prompted the Bishop of Liverpool to lend his support, saying, it's a question of what to do when the world isn't as we would like it to be. Meanwhile, the prize for this week's most trusting spouse goes to Mrs. Mary Whitehouse, who claimed legalised brothels would be overrun with married men. The subject was put to union members in their magazine Home and Family, which may become Home, Family and a bit on the side, if ever they give brothels the green light, which will be useful for colourblind clients. We'll pause briefly for a cutting from the Daily Mail's television listings.
9:20, Comic Relief 1992, Behind the Red Nose. See, pick of the day.
Our thanks to all of you who spotted that one. Andy, will you now listen to this, please?
Alexander Bell, I'll write the day when we want the telephone.
Well, that was called Obscene Phone Caller by Rockwell. And the question is, who didn't answer democracy's call?
Who didn't answer democracy's call?
I'll give you a clue here. It's a Norfolk question.
Oh, that narrows it down. Thank you, Patrick.
It does, yeah.
Can I just say that this modern pop music, I couldn't hear any of the words on that. That's
well, it wouldn't have helped you much.
No, obviously not.
Nothing to do with Bosnia?
No, it isn't. It's, it's to do with South Norfolk.
South Norfolk.
Which is sort of Bosnia in its way, I suppose. It's all about the South Norfolk District Council's democracy dial-in, which allowed poll taxpayers to influence the way funds were allocated. But just 816 people out of over 100,000 residents took part, due to the poll tax's amazing ability to make more people disappear than a magic circle convention. 603 callers voted for the planting of trees, 212 demanded more than one telephone box to reduce the democracy dial-in queue, and there was one order for a 14-inch deep pan pizza with extra anchovies and mushrooms. Alan, your question now. What didn't fare well in Seville?
This is the opening of Expo 92. Where the police started shooting the spectators. Jolly lucky they didn't put him in an arena and chase him with horses, really. It was extremely crowded, so the Spanish police reduced the crowds in the only way they know, been available to them for centuries. Franco lives.
Absolutely right. It's the opening of Expo 92, which resembled the second leg of the Spanish Civil War, when police graced proceedings with a display of flamenco riot control techniques. Members of the Exposers of Expo were protesting against Columbus's discovery of America. A case of, what do we want? Columbus out. When do we want it? 1492. Let me give you the scores at the end of the second round, which are quite interesting, but not dramatic, because Alan and Andy are 7, but Richard and John are in the lead with 8. Time now for news of the film Carry On Columbus, spotted in Today.
Comic Robbie Coltrane has turned down the role of Christopher Columbus because he's travelling to America.
Thank you, Monique Slaven of King's Lynn, for sending us that. Richard, where might traditional headgear lose its appeal?
In the appeal court, I suggest, due to the judges removing their wigs.
Right.
Is that right?
Absolutely right.
Yeah, I made that up.
You should do that more often. It was completely accurate.
Is someone going to stop Elton John wearing a wig? He looks like Alan Bennett with a wig. Yeah, it's strange. I think it was Alan Bennett the other night at the AIDS concert.
Well, perhaps it was.
The Thora Heard was on drums with Axl Rose.
Let me give you the official reading. Yeah. The High Court Chancery Division are to vote on whether to stop wearing wigs. This follows the shock decision of the bishops in 1832. Mad, impetuous things. If this goes through, instead of a wigging from the beak, the worst you might get is a severe crown topping, and the Wig and Pen Club will become the slap head and felt tip. They also thought about a ruling on the wearing of stockings, garters, and silk gowns, but decided to leave their private lives out of it. Anyway, John, here's a piece of music for you.
Burt Camford.
It's actually the music from Psycho, so I was looking pretty near.
Yeah.
And your question is, what shock horror tactics could be a cause for complaint? A television question.
What shock tactics?
There's going to be a little sign put up on the
Nick
television.
Ross on 24 hours a day or something.
they're going to put a little sign on if people like
are
that.
Are they?
Yes.
Why didn't I read that?
You read the Telegraph?
Yes,
the Telegraph.
Yes. It's a ghostly guy. I missed that Boer War last week.
There'll be a little sign put up to warn you that Tebbit's coming on or anything. Likely to frighten you.
Boadicea's dead. Did you know that?
Yes.
All that blue paint.
Very nice.
With the judges. Very nasty.
Anyway, I don't know.
I think something scrambled their points there. Like.
Yeah.
It's the Independent Television Commission's violent anti-violence advertisement, which was so explicit they called Michael Winner in to tone it down. The idea is to publicise the ITC as a place to send viewers' complaints, and this ad should keep them pretty busy. Death Wish 2.5 minutes, which constitutes a warning about broadcasting violent television programmes when children may be watching, is to be shown only after 9 p.m, which should guarantee most children will be watching, providing they get back from the pub in time. Andy, where did a shortcut lead to a prickly court case?
Yes. This was the case of a woman who went to her hairdresser's and did exactly what I do, which is they said, what do you want? She said, just a trim. And she complained that when she came out, she looked like a spiky hedgehog. And an awful lot of time and money was spent taking this to court. I actually saw the photo and I thought, she's right. She does look like a hedgehog. And then I realised I was looking at the before photo. But I think she got awarded sort of 18.5p damages.
Fancy coming out of a hairdresser's and complaining that you look like a hedgehog. My dream.
It all happened in Chippenham in Wiltshire, where Julianne Armitage went to the hairdressers for a trim but ended up going to court for damages. According to Julianne, her new sticky-up hairdo left her looking like a hedgehog. In restaurants, she was offered saucers of bread and milk. And each time she washed it, the only way to make it go flat was by lying down on the road and waiting for a passing lorry. The offending hairdresser was ordered to pay £25 damages, but the case took a bit longer than usual because every time the judge sat down, the defendant, the hairdresser, asked him if he'd been on his holidays yet. Alan, who failed to prevent a splash-and-grab crime wave?
I fear this is our old friend Torbay. Everything happens in Torbay. It's amazing. All those Russian turned up and tried to sell him a bomb last week. One, I shall move to Torbay. It's clearly exciting. This is a policeman who drove his car with his police dog. Actually, he was a crime prevention officer. And he took his panda car with his panda in it, or his dog car with his dog in it. and he went for a swim at Torbay Leisure Centre. Thought of which really thrills the soul. Anyway, he went for a dip and someone nicked his dog. And his car, his truncheon, a little radio he carried, and all his crime prevention stickers. Amazing place, Torbay. You'd never think you'd look at it. Everybody's 90, but there, I mean...
You're absolutely right, Alan. And that mercifully brings us to the end of round three, and the scores are still in a poised situation, because Alan and Andy are 11, but Richard and John are still clinging on to the lead with 12. Before we start the final round, here's a tale from the Daily Mirror.
When Prince Andrew rang his golf coach, Doug McClellan, to fix a practice session, the phone was answered by Doug's son, Jamie. After being told it was the Duke of York on the line, Jamie yelled, "Dad, it's the pub for you."
Well, thanks to all of you who sent that one in. Richard, here's a piece of music for you. That was Albatross by Fleetwood Mac, and the question is, whose love life gives him the bird?
My partner, incidentally, knew that that was Albatross. I think it's quite remarkable.
By Vivaldi, I thought.
Vivaldi, so. It was Vivaldi. Somebody on the Daily Telegraph told me all about this at lunch today, but I've rather forgotten. Something to do with an albatross that flew up to the Orkneys, and I think it was taken into care by social workers.
Was Shetland, and there aren't any other albatrosses for it to mate with. Mm. Not even a common shag. And it's been attempting to mate with guillemots.
Oh, we've all done that.
I can see you've been to the Shetlands on a Saturday night, haven't you?
It's the embarrassment the following morning, though, I think.
Yes, they always look like guillemots, don't they? You always think they're going to be... But there's no way around it. Beak in your ear at 8 o'clock with a cup of tea.
Talking of that sort of thing, you saw that Freddie the dolphin had passed on, did you?
That's true. No,
Freddie hasn't passed on.
He's alive
now been
again,
sighted.
What?
Yeah.
Has he? Is he
sighted
all right?
In several places. Several Mothers Union spots up and down the country.
Was he resuscitated?
No, like, they got the wrong one.
Which one did pass?
They
on?
Saw one that got wrapped up, and then this other one came along and told them its name was Freddie. So
oh, right. They could have a concert for him at Wembley, too.
Yes. Oh, you're terrible.
It's all about the lovesick, black-browed albatross called, depending on which paper you read, Albert or Molly Mork. No wonder he can't get a girlfriend. He can't remember his own name. Who's been searching the Shetlands for a mate for the last 30 years. Unfortunately, the breeding colonies of the black-browed albatross are 8,000 miles away in the Falklands. The seabird's Sin City, where the squid is plentiful, and it's two gulls for every guy. As a last resort, the reluctant celibate has attempted to woo local female gannets back to his cliff-top bachelor pad with displays of wing-beating, but even they reject him as being all squawk and no trousers. John, what cure isn't to be sniffed at?
Sinuses. Noses. Yes, somebody's found a cure for the common cold in the Shetlands. You eat a guillemot, get a haircut, you turn into a hedgehog.
More or less.
No, I've no idea.
No idea.
Totally
ignorant. Is this possibly the story that sex is a cure for hay fever?
That's the story.
So I'm feeling a bit bunged
up
tonight,
actually.
Where do
you read these?
Not to be sneezed at.
This is actually that old line that we've all used as teenagers, which is, you know, I've got terrible hay fever, and the only thing that will cure me is sex, isn't it? And some researcher has fallen for this, clearly. Never works, of course. Yeah, that is the story.
That is the story, absolutely right. It's the news that lovemaking combats hay fever. Yes, prevention may be better than cure, but in this case, it's a lot less fun. Allergy specialists claim the rush of adrenaline is a safe and enjoyable nose de-blocker, although an attack of the sniffles in the supermarket is still best remedied by reaching for the tissues. This medical breakthrough, which gives a whole new meaning to the phrase to be taken three times a day before meals, has gladdened the hearts of all sufferers, but sceptics say it's only reinforcing what we already know, namely, the best cure for a cold has always been a few days in bed. Andy, here's your question. Where won't you be going for a song?
Where won't I be going?
No, won't you.
It's a Welsh National Opera.
I think I should pass this to Alan.
Well, the Welsh National Opera has got a female sheep, which keeps a welcome in the valleys for members of the Welsh National Opera, no doubt. But they're all these Welshmen are going to France to sing something, and the French, given their feeling for English livestock, are not going to allow the sheep to come. They're going to provide a male French sheep, and that's going to sing with the choir instead. Something like that.
That's right.
What does the sheep do? What opera is this?
France. It gets eaten.
But what opera's got a sheep?
They say,
in it?
Wonderful, we love music. Where's the frying pan? Sorry?
So it's all about Blodwyn, the mountain ewe from Gwent, who is to be replaced by a French ram called Twopence in the Welsh National Opera's debut in Paris because of red tape involved in exporting a live farm animal. The news came as a great shock to Blodwyn, who had spent several months preparing for her trot-on role in Debussy's Pelléas et Mélisande avec mint sauce. However, Blodwyn, best known for her BAFTA award-winning role as third sheep on the left in All Creatures Great and Small, harbours no ill feelings towards her understudy, and she hopes Twopence breaks four legs on opening night.
I have to say that Tosca has got 100 sheep in it. It does, actually. Third act of Tosca. And that's not funny, but interesting.
Alan, your question now. What stayed on the ground due to something in the air?
It's not another incontinent bird, is it?
It's
an aeroplane.
It's the...
It's an aeroplane.
Yes.
It's a pong.
A pong. In a plane.
Pong, and I don't know this. I have absolutely no idea. I thought it was about bombing the Ark Royal, but it clearly isn't.
No.
It's a smell that prevents an aeroplane from taking off or landing.
Yes.
It's fear. It's a smell of fear.
Well, it's similar to that.
Absolutely no idea.
Let me put you out of your misery. It's about 25 litres of concentrated garlic essence, which leaked from a drum as it was being unloaded from a British Airways 737 at Heathrow. Within seconds, workers were rushing to get off the plane, and within minutes, they were rushing to get out of the airport. Fire crews equipped with extra strong mints and asbestos chef's hats managed to contain the spillage by spraying the fuselage with parsley sauce. The authorities claim the plane is now back to normal, though Concorde was last seen flying past with a large peg on its nose. Before we reveal the final scores, let's see what cuttings the teams have brought along. Richard, have you brought a cutting for us?
An unusual advertisement from the Surbiton Guardian, or Groniad. Male 45 with Circus Lion Taming Act seeks female partner. Must like animals. Knowledge of first aid an advantage.
Very good. John?
A little piece here from the Daily Star. A man gave up sex after mysteriously hearing David Icke's voice over his stereo. He said, I had the radio on FM, and suddenly I heard Icke's voice, and he wasn't even on the show. Icke said he was not surprised by Tony's experience because the energy he gives out had blown up computers in front of him.
Andy, what have you got?
I've got something from the Daily Mirror here. A Peruvian pilot was so worried about spoiling his airline's on-time record that he took off without his 191 passengers. The captain flew an empty plane from Mexico to Lima while buses bringing passengers to the airport were stuck in traffic.
That's fine. Alan?
I have as insignificant an item as you can imagine from the Bucks Advertiser. Councillor Green rose and said that Chalfont St Giles had never submitted to threats, he would not submit to threats now, and while there was breath left in his body, it would never submit to threats in the future. He then sat down, and after a long silence, Councillor Mrs Mackenzie rose to ask if anyone had the remotest idea what Councillor Green was talking about.
Thank you. Well, let's look at the final score. There's been an amazing reversal because Richard and John have scored a noble 14, but Alan and Andy came with a rush at the end to get 15, and are this week's winners. Well played. Now, before we leave you, here's an advertisement from the Exchange of Mart, sent in by Graham Hoyland of Axbridge.
For sale, 1979 Daimler hearse, full MOT, low mileage, body needs slight attention.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Richard Ingrams, Alan Corran, John Sessions and Andy Hamilton. The chairman was Barry Took and the news was read by me, Brian Perkins. The programme was written by Ian Pattinson and Robert Fraser Steele. The producer was Colin Swash.